moving ahead in revival. And it's going to be powerful. Amen. Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. First John, and we've been doing a study through the book of First John. We've actually gone through the first three chapters already. We have found out that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins, and it cleanses of all unrighteousness. We found out He's established fathers in the body of Christ, right? Spiritual fathers. We found out that we're to love each other, and if we hate our brother, we've committed murder in our hearts. That was a powerful statement, wasn't it? I want to go to chapter 3. We just want to close out chapter 3 and cover one verse again just to get a running start. In verse 24 says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him." Now I want you to hear that again. He that obeys him dwells in him. So what would be the converse if you don't obey him? What would be the converse such that, you know, you say the sinner's prayer, but you decide you still want to do things your way and, you know, live like the world lives and do the things the world does? What would be the result of that? You're not dwelling in him, right? You're not dwelling in him. There's a requirement that once you receive Jesus as Savior, he also becomes your Lord. So he says, "And he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he's given us." You can know you're in Jesus because of the moving of the Holy Spirit within you. People that are oblivious to the Holy Spirit's witness within, the Holy Spirit's leading without, the Holy Spirit's confirmation of those things going on around them, even manifesting the truths of the Word to them. Those that are oblivious to the Holy Spirit's moving with them, I'm concerned about their actual salvation. Says, you know you're saved by the Holy Spirit's operations within your life. He gave us the Spirit of God to be the teacher, the comforter, right? The leader. And how can we have an effective Christian life dwelling in Jesus without that operation going on? Or not even being aware of that operation? I mean, my goodness, it'd be like, you know, you get, you know, brought to America for some impoverished country where they have no, you know, no running water, no hot water, no microwaves, no cars, motorcycles. And you get over here and somebody, you've got an inheritance and you found out, you know, that your rich grandfather left you $1 billion. You get over here and you still want to drink filthy water and you still want to, you know, eat defiled, rotten food, and you're going to walk everywhere and, you know, no shoes. You would be silly. How much more to get saved and leave the Holy Spirit out of our lives? It's just ridiculous. In fact, I believe as Spirit-led, born-again, Holy Ghost Christians, we should be even trying to get more in tune with the Spirit's voice within, with His gentle, soft leadings that He makes at times. Should I share with you something that happened to me last Friday? I already shared it with a few people Monday night. I don't know if we want to put this on the tape or not. We can always edit it out. But Friday morning, and I believe it was 4:16 was the time, something like that, my doorbell rang. It was one of the few nights that Patty let me stay in the bed for, you know, because of snoring. I was actually in the bed instead of in the reclining couch. And the doorbell rang real loud, ding dong. And I heard it and, you know, kind of sprung away, and I knew it wasn't actually the doorbell. I knew it was in my spirit. It was God telling me to wake up. And so I assumed there was a prayer responsibility, a prayer need. So I started praying right where I was, and immediately the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, but into me, in a fashion I don't usually hear in my normal prayer time. Normally I get knowledge, understanding, inclinations I'm aware of, but this was actually a voice within me. And the Lord said, "I've called you to be a hoist." A hoist, H-O-I-S-T. And immediately I knew it was like he brought understanding of, and your name is Jack and not by accident. because a jack is made to lift things and so is a hoist. And it was, I know that sounds silly, you know, kind of simple, but it was, I'd never thought of it before. And I always thought just jackhammers. Amen. And then he dropped in me the understanding that he has called me to lift people up with heavy burdens and to lift others up, even without burdens, to their high callings. That my assignment is to elevate people. Well, I've known that for years, that I'm to raise people up into their callings. That's always, for many years, been my understanding. That I'm not here just to, you know, go evangelize the city. I'm here to disciple the serious believers. Now, I'm seeking God for more, but I believe there's more. But that's the Spirit of God speaking into your life. And how much do we need that, right? We're going to go into chapter 4 now. And I just want to say, going into chapter 4 and even the first of chapter 5 are some of the most difficult to understand scriptures in 1 John. If you really understand what they mean. Because many times these verses are taken out of context, taken in a form of limited understanding, and create a whole different picture. So chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Now understand, he just said, you know you're saved because of the Spirit he's given you. But he says, don't believe every spirit. How many know we can't believe every voice? Don't believe everything that speaks to you, and don't believe every teacher or Christian spokesman that speaks into your life. When I first got saved, I was so much a sponge for the Word, and I didn't know there were false doctrines. I didn't know there were, you know, teachers that were teaching wrong things. I thought, hey, we're all one in the body of Christ. It's all Christianity. I devoured every teaching I could get a hold of. I mean, I was on WJMM all the time. Every tape I could get back then was cassette tapes, right? Every cassette tape I could get, just devouring them. And I started realizing these guys don't all agree. But through time, a progression took place that there were fewer and fewer people I could listen to. If you've been in this very long, you had the same thing. That all of a sudden, there were certain people that when you listened to them, it wasn't edifying you. At one time, it was okay because you were hearing about Jesus being the Lamb and you were hearing about, you know, you need to confess your sins. But as you took their whole message, it wasn't edifying. It would drain you. Right? And it would either over-condemn you or over-liberate you, you know, where there were no responsibilities as a Christian. And my list of people I could listen to got smaller and smaller and smaller to be able to hear messages that would actually take me to the next level. Do you follow me? Who do you think you are? I'm just a believer trying to grow. Amen. And not every meal out there is worthy to be partaken of. Amen. And so he says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Now let me say this starting out. The number one way you try a spirit is you align with what they are saying to the full counsel of the Word of God. Now, it doesn't go into that saying this right here, but that is the truth. You try a spirit to make sure what they're telling you, what voice you're hearing, who's teaching you, does it align with the full counsel of the Word. Try the spirits because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, if you remember, Paul in this letter was confronting the Gnostics, false teachers, teachers that they were preaching some form of Christianity. They were defiling the message. So he's still addressing that problem with false teachers in the body of Christ. And now back then, they were teaching all kinds of crazy. We went through a list of it before. If you remember, we read part of the list of some of the Gnostic teaching. Some of it was absolutely ridiculous, right? That Jesus didn't actually come in the flesh and you know, you can work your way to God and amen. We today really don't have that much problem with those because we consider that so far out of bounds that we don't consider it. If somebody came here and says, you know, Jesus Christ didn't really come in the flesh, we would say, hey, get out of here. I'm not listening to you. But the messages that try to deceive us nowadays are much more subtle. You know, Paul had in his day, one of the deceptive messages was, this was actually John, but Paul was confronting the Judaizers who were saying, once you're saved, you have to be circumcised. Well, they come here with that message, they'll get run out. We have scripture to say that that's not true. So our messages that false prophets are bringing in today are much more subtle. That God can't see your sin. Once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. Of course, that's been going on for years. And other such. So I believe there's even more of a need today to be cautious about who you entertain as your teacher. Because they may teach you 95% good food, but 5% poison in their mix can kill you. Well, I listen to all of it and I just spit out the sticks. Well, do you eat, you know, wormy cereal and spit out the grubs? There's enough good teachers out there. You can find wholesome food without having to listen to those in error to get something to eat. Amen. You can never go wrong with Kenneth Hagin because he's already dead. It's too late for him to change his message. So Pastor Sherry said back last year. Amen. Many false prophets are going out into the world. The devil has his own spokesman. And if he can get even a Christian, I'm talking about an on-fire Christian minister, and get them to get caught over into pride or into envy or into hatred or jealousy, he can get them just a little bit off. He can sow into them because they lose their ability to discern the voice of the true spirit. He can start sowing into them a false message. We've got to be careful. Amen. But then he says in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, Paul had a problem with people saying that he had not come in the flesh. Do you understand that? But know the Holy Spirit inspired this. We've got to pull out of it what he's saying to us. Because it sounds like it's telling us anybody that says Jesus Christ came to earth in a man's body, he's okay. That's a right spirit. That's not true. The vast majority of teachers that we should be careful of nowadays will tell you Jesus Christ came to earth as a man. But you still got to look out for what they're saying. So there's got to be more embedded in this just that if they say Jesus Christ is, you know, come in the flesh, he's a God. In fact, let's read the next verse. We'll come back to this. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now again, I've had situations where I've been casting devils out of people. And you'll tell them, say Jesus Christ is Lord. And they'll go, Jesus. And they can't get it out. That spirit they're dealing with, they've given way to, will not let them confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I rebuke the spirit of deception. Rebuke the spirit of darkness or lust. I've seen it happen many times. Amen. So there is some truth that you can demand a spirit speak Jesus Christ is Lord, and at times it can't say it. But I'll tell you right now, and I discussed this with the pastors yesterday because I want to get their take on these passages. And they all confirmed it. They have all confronted demon-possessed people who can sit there and praise God and declare Jesus Christ as Lord and came as a man and preached the whole gospel. And then he'd swivel around and say, and I hate him, you know. There are demons out there that can lie and do it very convincingly. So you cannot go back to this old mentality or old teaching dealing with casting out devils that if you can get them to say Jesus is Lord, they'll be free. There are people I've done that with and they're still running around with all their friends, you know, around town. So there's more to it than that. There's got to be. So I want to take a few minutes and give you some possibilities. I personally don't know if I have the right explanation, but I'm going to give you some possibilities. I've read I don't know how many commentaries on this, and there's much debate within the commentaries what this means, because the general understanding is, in every commentary out there of anybody that knows anything about the Holy Spirit, is that this just doesn't mean to speak forth Jesus is Lord. In fact, if we look and we break it down, back to verse 2, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. One alternate wording of this is every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh. Do you follow me? And we understand it's a lifestyle of confessing Jesus Christ. But I want to give you a key word in this passage I believe is a key to this. See the word confesseth? In the Greek, it's the word homologeo. Homo meaning same, where we get homosexual. The same as versus hetero. And logeo means to speak. So homologeo means to say the same thing as. So he that says the same thing as Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh, is of God. Now that's the way I want to present it. He that confesses or speaks forth the same thing as and obeys and acts on and lives out that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Also, what was I going to say? He that says it, he that lives it. Oh, yes. And we also understand that Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh, is the Word made flesh. So I believe we are not taking too much liberty in this to say, he that says the same thing as the Word, Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh, the Word made flesh, is of God. Do you follow me on this? Is that okay with you? Understand we're presenting possibilities here. But also understand it says Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name, right? It means the anointed one. He that is confessing Jesus as the Word, the source of all anointing. Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, come to us. That Jesus Christ is the Savior. He that confesses Jesus Christ as the Savior of their life and lives a life conformed to the Word in obedience to Him. That Spirit is of God. But in my opinion, if you start getting off track on any of those, you're in danger of entertaining deception. You leave Jesus Christ behind as your Lord and obedience behind, you're in danger. You leave aligning everything you do and say with the Word, what you're teaching, you're in danger. I fear and tremble because I'm assigned of God to be a Bible teacher. I fear and tremble bending the Word in any way to make it say what I want it to say. I'm going to stand before God with this. So when I'm giving these alternatives, I want to present it as, I'm not saying this is thus saith the Lord. This is the best, taking the whole content of the Word and message of the Bible, the New Testament together, I believe this is what it has to indicate to us. And every spirit that does not align everything it says with the Word, does not align everything it does with the life of Christ, does not recognize Jesus Christ as a Savior, as the Messiah, and the source of all anointing, the same is not of God. Then he says in verse 3, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now, we already read about the Antichrist, didn't we? Can we hold this spot and go back to that? Go back to chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. Now, if it was the last time then, what time do you think it is now? It's the end of the last time, right? I mean, this clock is about to count down and the alarm's going to go off. At least the trumpet's going to sound. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. That means opposed or against the anointing is what it means. Do you understand if a pastor gets up and says that speaking in tongues is of the devil? That is an Antichrist spirit. Do you know there are many men of God, or just say ministers, that are declaring that very message, that are world-renowned Bible teachers? Amen, but I don't want their stuff. Amen. Even now, are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time? Now, today, most antichrists are in politics. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Now, here's what's interesting. Here's what's interesting. John says they were part of us. These antichrists at one time were proclaiming Christians and probably still are. You know, we read a minute ago that those spirits that declare that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they're of God. Many people take that verse alone and believe anybody that declares Jesus Christ is Savior, he's a Christian. Amen. When they may have no evidence in any part of their life that would say that. How many politicians do we know that say they're Christians and don't show it? How many people do we know say they're Christians and don't show it in any part of their life? You know, I was just at a family gathering and everybody's saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Really? I've never even realized at this point until you told me, because there's no evidence of it whatsoever in your life. But when the pastor's around, everybody's a Christian. But it says they came out from among us. Now here's what's interesting. Scripture indicates to us that the Antichrist is going to attempt to take over Jerusalem, set himself on the throne of the temple as if he were God. As if he were God. There's a good chance on the way there he'll be confessing Jesus Christ as great all the way. A possibility. Amen. Or that God is great at least. We've already found out that he that has the Son has the Father. He that denies the Son denies the Father also. Amen. So, Antichrist come up out of the body of Christ. Amen. I used to work with a guy. In fact, we were somewhat friends, worked together back before I was saved and after. And he was head of the Lexington Atheists. Worked in the cubicle right, you know, one or two down from me. Head of the Lexington Atheists. But he used to be a Christian. Any disappointment in life or witnessing hypocrisy in the church, probably, I think it was both, turn him against God and to atheism. God's looking for a people that won't be moved. And John said, these be part of us. They're not anymore. They've gone into that world system. Now, chapter 4 again. Verse 3, this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. That spirit's here, looking for people that will give themselves over to it. Why? By bending the word and bending their standards. I believe this whole hyper-grace message is an Antichrist message. Amen. And they're proclaiming God's the healer. God's the Savior, God's the Anointer, God's the love, He's God of love, but yet the message is defiled. It's an Antichrist message, and they came out from among us. Verse 4, you are of God, little children. Oh, aren't you glad of that? And have overcome them. Now, I know you may be not called to teach like I am, but when I read these verses, I've got to break them down. I got to know, who's he talking to? Do you do that? I mean, I've got to read. I just can't skim over the words. I've got to, like, what's he trying to say here? Yeah. You've overcome. Mm-hmm. Praise God, I've overcome them. Who's the them? Who are the them? I'd like to know who I've overcome. First of all, we understand we've overcome those deceptive spirits. We have refused to receive the delusions. We've refused to compromise the word. We refuse to let natural or worldly mindsets dominate our lives. Therefore, we've overcome them. We refuse the spirit of unforgiveness, the spirit of murder, the spirit of jealousy, envy, and hate. Right? We refuse lust and the love of money. Now listen, John may have been giving some of these guys the benefit of the doubt. There's no doubt this is, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's going not just to experienced mature believers, but to newbies as well. They're baby Christians in this group. They probably haven't overcome anything yet. Other than by the blood, they've been liberated from their sin. But John's letting us know, the Holy Spirit's letting us know, that there's nothing that we can't overcome. So we've overcome the deceptive spirits, and we've overcome the temptation to fall prey to the false teachers. Now in John's day, understand, there was a big battle there for who were going to follow what teacher. Remember, even Paul addressed that. Some say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm from Cephas, right? Who would have followers come after them. And Paul said, I'm not playing that game. I'm after Christ, we're all after Christ. I didn't even baptize any of you, but a few of us, right? The house of Stephanus, some others. He wouldn't play that follow me game. But John here is addressing people in his group, in his churches. This is Apostle John speaking. This is Grandpa John. He's addressing his followers that have stayed the course. And it's, you've overcome them. You refuse to fall prey to the messages of those that went out from among us. That's the them, those that went out from among us. And guess what? You have overcome as well. Because you've not fallen to hyper grace. Right? You've not fallen to the worldly doctrines and user-friendly messages and works-based salvation messages. You stayed with the Word. You've overcome. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, who's in you that's greater? The Holy Spirit, right? We call it Jesus, but the Holy Spirit's in you. Greater is the Holy Spirit in you, amen, than the Spirit that's in the world in operation. Can I give you another twist on this passage? Just for fun? You are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. And for the mature believer who's learned to put down the flesh, greater is he, the spirit man within you, than the flesh man in the world. You have got dominion over that flesh. You're not being dominated by those lusts and cravings and failings and every their fleshly mindset, right? You remember Paul repeatedly contrasted the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit, right? The works of the flesh are these: envy, debate, strife, murders, envy, jealousy. And we've overcome that. Why? Because we learn to tap into and build up and strengthen and mature the spirit man within us. We serve an awesome God. So then he says in verse 6, I'm sorry, skipped one. Verse 5, they are of the world. Who are the they? The same them, same as the them, right? Those that have left off the true gospel message have fallen prey to deceiving spirits. And not that we have to agree on everything. There's never going to be total, you know, unanimous agreement on every doctrine until we get, I believe, to the glory. then we'll probably agree on everything. But I'm talking about those in deception. And John says they are in the world. They may be proclaiming Jesus, may show forth signs, the gifts of God without repentance, so they can show forth manifestations. But John says they're in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. I believe this comes back to the user-friendly message. Hypergrace. Joel Osteen, whatever way you want to put it. Is that okay with you? That everything is just how loving and how wonderful God is. What a great God we serve. What a loving God. And no matter what you're doing, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're doing, you know, with your life, God loves you and He's with you and your favors with His favors with you. And ridiculous. The first part's true. But there's a necessity to align your life with the leading of the Holy Spirit to move into the blessing. I've preached it for years in here that God's got a life of blessing for you. He's got a path of blessing, but you got to make sure the path you're on is the one that intersects with the blessing. Because the blessing isn't out there in disobedience territory. It's in the area of following the leading of the Spirit to the blessing. So we've got a group of people that are proclaiming this wonderful God and the world's embracing it. What do you mean? I mean they're coming to church and lucidly declaring Jesus Christ as Savior, and the Word is so comforting and so alleviating of the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your life that you gravitate toward this message of no responsibility. For a feel-good message. Do you follow me? It's of the world. Now, if I mention a name that you really like, that preacher, I would just say that's a message he has. You follow me? You've never heard him address sin at any level. It's all just about think positive and amen. Good motivational speeches, right? And there's more to it than that. There's a war to be fought. There's a spiritual battle that will rage. And the teachers that the world gravitates to are the ones that tell you there's no battle. If you're in a battle, you've missed God. Come to my church where we have no battles. We just tell you whatever situation is, know that God loves you. Well, isn't that going to cast out a whole lot of spirits off of your life? And right now, the charismatic movement has been overtaken with user friendliness. We had some people come to the church a while back and didn't have a problem with the message, but it just lasted too long. We're not here to have our ears tickled.
Amen.
Right? We're here to be built up in the Word. We're here to be receive of the anointing that changes our lives. But that message out there, hey, user-friendly, come to the drive-thru church. Come to the bar church. Come to the, you know, now they have stripper churches. There is a, we'll call him a pastor. He was a pastor. To me, was one of the most impressive men in the kingdom of God preaching. Been to our church in Lexington many times. Did our conferences. Who felt the sin. And now he runs a bar and I think stripper church. Really? It's a real thing. And the world loves it. Oh, they have a message I can follow. Well, this is there of the world and the world heareth them. Hey, I might have visited that church way back. If you know how I met my wife anyway, amen. Praise God. Verse 5 again, they are of the world, Therefore speak they of the world and to the world, aligned with the world, and the world heareth them. We're of God. He that knoweth God. You see the word knoweth? Gnosko. To be aware of, to have knowledge of, even to know God. We that know God. You know His presence. You're learning to discern between the presence of God and other atmospheric chargings. You learn to go to a place and recognize sorrow, recognize fear, recognize strife, right? It's of the world. We recognize genuine love and the genuine presence of God. So we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. I'm trying to think how best to explain this. I think you'll follow with me on this. But I can spend usually just a few minutes speaking with somebody and knowing if they're really aligned, their life's aligned with the Holy Spirit. I'll know down here. They're blowing smoke. They've got a facade going on. They're playing games. They're trying to con you. Amen. See, on the streets, you got Robert and Paul and others. Man, you go on the streets and try to snow them. They're going to, hey, you just snowing me. They're going to know. Well, there's also a discernment in the kingdom of God that you can pick up with someone in the church is trying to snow you. Are you following me? But you find somebody that all of a sudden, and you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking, or they're speaking with a life aligned with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden I'm hearing them. And you, as you're hearing them, you have the Holy Spirit having a whole other conversation with you about what they're saying. Amen. And you know, when you go out in places, that the vast majority of people you speak to have no comprehension of what you're talking about when you're talking about, I believe I receive. By His stripes I was healed. Horabasatasi. And no weapon formed against me prospers. And they're going like, do what? I've taken to me the whole armor of God. Okay, where's it at? You know. Even Christians. They'll be calling you name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You know, and you're trying to talk to them. No, the word says we can command a mountain to be thrown in the sea. If we don't doubt, it'll obey us. Right. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. Sure you do. And in their mind, they're going like, you know, it's just some positive thinking going on. You know, they just think they felt better because, you know, you understand what I'm talking about. They're not hearing you. But other people, you'll say a few words, and it's like they hear you. There's times even the Holy Spirit will jump in on conversations like that. I sewed that motorcycle last year. Remember the full-dress motorcycle? And I've told people asking me about the bike all the time. Where's that bike you had? I said, well, I gave it away. God told me to sew it. Really? Why didn't you call me? Well, God didn't tell me to give it to you. He told me to give it somebody worthwhile. And I didn't, I was going to say that. And they'll look at you like you're the biggest sucker ever. But again, last fall or so, I ran into somebody that I don't even know that they're Christian. And I knew them from working at a place around here and talked to them many times. They knew I'm a pastor. And I ran into them in another store, and they said, are you on your motorcycle? I said, no, I gave that motorcycle away. Oh, I said, I don't have any more. What happened to it? Well, I gave it away. God told me to give it to another minister. And she stopped in the track. She says, I've got cold chills running down me right now when you said that. She says, she was just totally floored by it that I would give away a motorcycle. Others think I'm just that wealthy, I can just give motorcycles away every day, you know. Don't know I stole all money on that bike. What happened? She heard. The Spirit of God opened her eyes to hear beyond just the surface. And you will get in these conversations that all of a sudden you know they're hearing you way beyond just the normal. And you'll hear them way beyond the normal. And you can have a conversation that goes straight to the root of situations. And it says, we are of God, we've overcome them because we know Him. And they don't, and oh, they that know God, hear us. There is a communication line for those that know God. Now, I'm not an expert on this. We don't have to get Aaron up here to explain it all. But I used to have an iPhone. Now I'm been Androidized. And there's some phone plans, AT&T Talk or whatever, that you can talk straight to people that going through other channels or iPhone messages or whatever. That if people have iPhones, they can do certain things between the iPhones you can't do if you have a different phone. Or different carriers instead of it. Is this true? You follow what I'm talking about? There is a language. No. It's more like a connection line. It's like having a... Did you ever see the old telephone switchboards in the movies, you know? Operator, you know, connect me with such a... Operator, plug, you know. What does she used to say? Who is the party to whom I'm speaking? What, Lily Tomlin, remember? Is this the party to whom I'm speaking? All right. You'd have to be about my age or older to understand that one. But back to laugh-in days. And they plug it in, and the line they plug in represents a direct connection to somebody else's phone. Right? And there is a phone channel, a communication wire that can exist between Holy Spirit anointed believers that nobody else can get in on that line. I mean, you can have five people in a circle and two of them be Holy Ghost and know something about faith, and the conversation's going on, and one will say, yeah, praise God, God always caused me to triumph. And the other's going, that's right, praise God. The other's going like, yeah, whatever, you know, did you see the ball game? It's like you have a whole conversation in the middle of them. They don't even know what you're talking about. And you're deep calling in the deep. I was in a meeting one time at a believers convention. And Rodney Howard Brown was there. And Kenneth Copeland. And Rodney Howard Brown was ministering. And Kenneth Copeland came up and they started speaking in tongues to each other. And had this, I don't know, probably a 15 or 20 minute conversation in tongues with each other. And nobody else had an idea what they were saying. Dr. Brown would go, and Copeland would just fall on the floor laughing almost. They were so caught up in God, speaking in tongues, knew what each other was speaking, nobody else did. I heard about that happening in the past. I'd never seen it. And sure enough, they were having a blast with it. But they had their own private line. And nobody else could listen in. And through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can be in a crowd and have a line through the Spirit of God's connection straight to other people's hearts. It's amazing. I've had the opportunity to minister. See, here when I speak, every heart's open. You're all just receiving your sponges for what I'm saying, right? Just keep shaking your head, yes. And but I've spoken at some religious places, religious groups, churches, whatever. Even the nursing homes. We're going back into the nursing homes again. And so, and there may be 50 people out there, whatever. And you're talking about the kingdom of God and about faith and about the power of God. And most of them go out there going like, what? Huh? But there'll be just a handful out there like this, like, yes. Don't stop. Yes. And you'll zero in on those because you know they are the ones that are receiving. It's like you've tuned into their frequency. And everybody else is oblivious to what you're saying. Just oblivious to it. It's just going on one ear out the other. It's on wayside soil. They have no comprehension of the power of the kingdom you're talking about. What happened? They know God and they hear us. That's what John's talking about. This connection only possible through the Spirit of God. See, I read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and I'm blown away. God is love. Amen. I just love those books, especially 1 John. It's the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, right? And other people read these three books and don't even have a comprehension of what they just read. I mean, it's just a history book to them, a philosophy book, a motivational, encouraging book, a legalistic book. There is no line to the Holy Spirit, a line to God through the Holy Spirit that they're downloading from. In one ear and out the other, or in one eye and out the other. But you have an unction from the Holy One. And as it says here, and you know all things. It goes on and he says, he that is not of God heareth not us. That's why revival will never take place through motivational, logical, argument-based, nice sermons. Revival takes place through a group of people that have prayed their way through all soulish opposition, all soulish blockages, all demonic resistance. And they may not be an effective speaker whatsoever as far as, able to homiletically put a message together. They get up and say, Jesus loves you and he healed me, and all of a sudden multitudes get saved. Why? Because it's not in how you say it. It's the anointing you say it with. And you want to be heard? Pray in tongues a lot. It'll bust through where people can hear you. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, it almost sounds like he switched gears there again. Because he's talking about those that, know God, hear us. Those that don't know God, don't hear us. Here's how we know the Spirit of God from the spirit of error. What's he speaking about? Well, I believe one of the primary applications is, if you can't have a conversation with someone, spirit to spirit, and you're speaking by the Spirit, yet it's coming back to you as nice Christian discussion, but there's no anointing on it, you better know that's probably not somebody you should be listening to. But when you get around them and their words cut through like a knife to you, you follow me? You better pay attention. In other words, you can know the Spirit of truth by the Spirit from the spirit of error by whether they hear you or you hear them on a spirit-to-spirit level. Because as long as you're just coming into this natural processing center, this soul center, and not passing through the filter system of your heart, it's dangerous. Is this making sense to anybody, or are we too deep tonight? There's got to be something, there's a connection within when you hear it, that inside is going, yes, 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 yes. Then that's the spirit of truth. But if you're hearing up here and it says, well, that sounds reasonable, that sounds good, oh, that sounds wonderful, but down here's nothing's connecting, it's dangerous. For example, I've been telling you this for several years now. There was a guy that used to go to this church. I knew he had challenges. Is this okay with you? He was actually spending way too much time with another woman who was married. And it didn't look like it was on the up and up. And they were campaigning for legalization of marijuana. And they put a post out the other day on Facebook to try to explain the grace of God. And here was the statement. I can't quote verbatim. But it said, anybody that's ever been saved and born again must know that your salvation is not based from that point on what you do. That it's impossible once you're saved for a child of God ever to lose their salvation. He said that. You can never lose your salvation because then he said this. He says, because what woman out there, what parent would ever turn their back on their child if their child ever fell into problems? Every good parent would always still love their child. What did he do? He took a Christian concept and backed it up with a natural example. And you know, to most people that sounds wonderful. People are liking it, commenting. Yes! Oh, that's right. Why? Because it appeals up here. But down here, there's alarms going off. When I read Destined to Reign, the first half of the book was one of the best books I've ever read. Joseph Prince's book on hypergrace. The first half was about our righteous nature, the inheritance we received. It was actually phenomenally written, well laid out, and I thought, this is great. Somebody given me the book. I said, you need to read this. And I got to the second half, and he started saying that God can't see your sin. You can never lose your salvation. And he had arguments behind it, you know, like this loving your kid or whatever. And appear, oh, that sounds wonderful. But down here's like, that isn't God. And I knew that that was deception to come in. And that's important. Was anybody was talking about him. He was, as far as people I knew, that he was new on the scene as far as what we knew. And we were investigating and nobody ever told me that he wasn't of God. But I read that book and I knew he wasn't. I knew that it was not God. Why? Because it appealed to the head, but it wasn't the Spirit of God confirming it. And of course, it didn't align with the Word of God. So you see what he's speaking about here then. Hereby we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Why? By the genuine Spirit within you. Amen. Not but just a bunch of fun-sounding precepts that are meant to draw in the world and people that want to align their life with the world. Doesn't bar church sound fun? No. Not to you. Why? The Spirit of God's in you. But there was a time it would have sounded fun. I'd have went to that church years ago. You follow me? Yeah, hey, you guys get drunk at church? Hey, count me in. You mean God doesn't mind if I get drunk? Now see, I wouldn't even say, but I knew enough that that wouldn't have been God. In fact, when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible, nothing about Scripture, but when I got saved the night I did, I confessed Jesus Christ, and the first thing I did is said, God, and I know if I've received you as Lord, I shouldn't be drinking and drugging and running around anymore. Deliver me from it. And it was gone that night. Boom. I called upon him. That was the genuine grace of God to set me free. Not to overlook it. Here's almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. But I can't see what you're doing. Again, if God does not convict us of our sins, I've heard the wrong voice for 32 years. See, don't let me get away with nothing. Amen? That's right, because he loves me, right? Oh, we're running out of time. I don't have time to go into verse number 7. We'll read 7 and come back to it next week. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is agape. Now again, here's a verse that people go to Well, God is love. How could he throw anybody into hell? He doesn't. He gives you a choice to choose him. Otherwise, you just step right off the cliff. Well, if God is so loving, why is there even a hell? If Adam had never disobeyed God, it would be empty. You follow me? Waiting on the devil to go there, you know, sometime. It would be empty. But man's rebellion necessitated a place to remove those who rejected his love. It's not that God wants to throw people into the hell. But when you reject such a mighty, powerful, all-powerful love, there's nothing left. I've heard it described as this. Hell is the polar opposite of heaven. And as awesome as heaven is, to reject God and love and heaven is to choose an area and an eternity that is equally as harsh and painful as heaven is blissful. I choose heaven. But I recognize in choosing heaven, there's a need to stay connected to the Spirit of God who leads us into all truth, to guard my heart with all diligence, right from there come forth the issues of life, and to obey the Savior and be vigilant in making sure I don't let deception in. Because right now there are many antichrists. And I do not want to be deceived. It's out there. And you're not immune to it. Therefore, we have to be keen to stay connected to God. Amen. Father, seal the word isn't in us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, anybody have any questions tonight before we dismiss?